We turn our attention to London and the G20. Many protests there in anticipation of the meetings by the so-called richest nations in the world amidst the crashes on Wall Street and all the other Western financial capitals, particularly watching closely what's happening with the banks in the United States. President Obama is the most sought-after man at the summit. It's hard to really figure out why. As I said, there were thousands of people protesting in the streets today. Many different kinds of protests took place, anti-capitalist protesters having to do with the environment and all kinds of stuff, the bank bailout. Before we go to Catherine Austin Fitz and community business to talk about this and the potential bankruptcies of General Motors, that's right, General Motors and Chrysler, let's listen to some sounds from the streets, protests against the G20. Listen to this.
Capitalism isn't a sustainable system. It exploits people, it exploits the environment.
A socialist society's got to be better than this. But, I mean, there's going to be millions of people starving around the world and society breaking down because of all that's gone on with rich, greedy, capitalist people. Can't be allowed to continue. There has to be a change now.
People have to take control of their societies. I mean, take control of their communities and their workplaces. That's the only way we change things, is by having the power to change things. Walking along protesting is just the start, it's a gathering point. Makes people feel, you know, other people share the same passion and anger, but ultimately it's proper workplace organisation and community organising that changes things.
I don't believe that you can reform the system. Millions of people protested the Iraq and Vietnam War. They went anyway because they wanted to go, didn't they?
I think we've got to reimagine how we go forward as a race, as a human race, basically, move away from the concept of infinite economic growth and sort of think about creating a system that puts people before profits and the environment before profits.
Libertarian communism. No state, no bosses, no exploitation. You don't have to support the rich, so you don't have to overproduce. You don't need massive economic growth destroying the world's resources. Try it.
No, I want to see you.
The rich!
Oh, people are stupid.
The rich!
Oh,
the rich!
And capitalism
are
treating the whole population. And I think it's time all over the world that every people will voice.
As you can see, there's not a lot of African people on this march. And African people have to fight for self-determination. At the moment, we don't control any of our so-called countries on the continent. The presidents that we have are the governors of colonialism, neo-colonialists, we refer to them as, and we believe that the rise of the African workers is imminent.
And some sounds from many protests, thousands are protesting for various reasons, the G20 unfolding now in Great Britain.
This is Cascadia Public Radio.
Joining us to talk about that and other things financial is Catherine Austin Fitz. Every Wednesday, usually Wednesday, we have our segment Community Business, in which we try and work with Catherine to understand, get a bit of a translation from Wall Street to Main Street and sort of how things work in this financial world. Catherine, welcome back. Got the G20. We've got Obama playing down so-called differences. I'm not sure what the differences are between American European policies. Everybody's watching the sort of back and forth between China and the United States. Your thoughts off the top of your head about what's going on here. What is the real significance of this meeting? What do you think they're really saying to each other behind closed doors?
Well, Dennis, for 60 years we've been printing paper, and at the same time, the amount of real resources hasn't really changed that much. We have the same amount of land, the same amount of water. And now we've come into the end game where the chickens are going to come home to roost on all that paper we've printed. You know, the global casino it can't stay in the same way. And so now we have a, you know, we have a situation like musical chairs where everybody's got paper, but there are only so many resources. So the question is, who's going to keep their chair and who's going to lose it? And that's what they're debating. And then once, you know, once those decisions are decided, how are they going to govern the globe? Because one of the things that's so interesting about this meeting is we're used to watching G7 and G8, which is, you know, the seven is the seven industrialized nations, eight is plus Russia. Now, instead, we have G20, which includes, you know, countries that are normally excluded in these processes. And not to say that those countries necessarily have more power, but now you have the developing world much more represented in terms of media coverage. So, in that discussion of musical chairs, it's interesting because, you know, it's the developing countries that by and large have the resources, and it's the G8 that printed the paper. And so it's, you know, this is a fascinating conversation to watch.
It's interesting. The last comments on our little collage from the protests was about how Africa does not control its own resources, and that is a key element of what the future might look like in terms of, if you will, Africa for Africans and a way of setting example for the rest of the world, that it has to be, things have to take place in the local community. So, what are these people saying to each other behind closed doors? What are the big concerns?
One of the debates is about financial regulation. If you look at the Anglo-American Alliance, which is the United States, Britain, Canada, New Zealand, and Australia, traditionally we represent 60% of the stock markets. And really the controlling interest in the financial system. Note that the meeting is in London, the head of the Anglo-American Alliance. And so, you know, the Anglo-American Alliance has basically set the tone for the controlling of the financial system. And yet you see France and Germany saying they want a global financial regulator. So part of it is, in the musical chairs, of who manages and controls the paper, it's really who's in control of that. And my prediction is, you know, as the financial system continues to centralize, which, you know, is part of what we're watching, there's going to be real outbreak of fighting and real tensions between the various factions as they try and come up with some plan for global governance. So, you know, this is a very sensitive time. And for those of us who promote decentralization, that kind of infighting is not a bad thing to happen. In fact, we want to encourage more of it.
Now, and of course here, China begins to play an extraordinary role when you on the one hand, we're reading about the bankruptcy. And we're hearing about different kinds of bankruptcy, and I want to talk to you about all of that. But if you read other headlines, say in the Wall Street Journal, it's about how China is getting ready to take control and steal the electric car market. So that's a rather positive headline coming out of China about cars, and we've got the two of the three big car makers about to go down. So talk about that.
Well, remember, you and I have talked a lot about all the capital they pulled out of the United States in the 90s. You know, and I've often told the story of the head of the CalPERS pension fund saying, we're moving all the money to Asia starting in the fall, and that was the fall of 1997. Massive investments have been made by European and North American interests in China and Asia. And so my expectation is that those investments are now going to, you know, emerge as those entities that start to win away market share from the North American-based companies. So it's not surprising to see General Motors and Chrysler in trouble, and Asian car makers, both China and India, have been the beneficiary of a lot of that capital directly or indirectly, then taking that market away. But you know, part of the problem of what we're looking at is we've had We've had essentially private investors through corporations and banks harvesting places all over the world. It's been happening in the third world, the second world, and the first world. So you have this harvesting process, which is centralizing. And in the process, you're reducing people to poverty, or where there's already poverty, you're basically reducing them to death. And part of the issue that's before this group is, how can you continue to justify the existence of all these big banks and corporations if there are no consumers, or the consumers are broke?
Well, these are good questions. You're listening to Flashpoints on Pacifica Radio. My name is Dennis Bernstein, and there are probably people from the G8 trying to call me right now. And sorry about that, but we are trying to keep an eye on what's happening to all the money that's going into the bailout of Wall Street and into the bank bailout. Help us. Let's do a sort of a 101 description of the bankruptcy 101. What is a limited bankruptcy? What is Obama talking about when he's talking about bankruptcy, potential bankruptcy for General Motors?
When you put an entity into bankruptcy, many of the decisions controlling that company and what happens can be made or influenced by the bankruptcy court. And so, grossly oversimplified, you're switching the control of that company from the board and the shareholders to the court. And my question, I find it chilling, because the question is this a way to basically ex-labor, and basically take down the UAW, but not have the president be responsible? It can be done, through the courts, sort of through the back door. And it's a chilling, it's chilling to contemplate what could happen.
Well, what could happen?
Well, what could happen is you could see labor take a devastating blow. And that whole network of the people, the employment and the work that flows in and out of General Motors just take a devastating blow. And that would have implications far beyond, I'm not a labor expert, but that would have implications for all sorts of unions and laborers throughout North America.
All right. Here's what I think I'd like to do. A lot of people have a lot of questions. I want to let our engineer know that we're going to try and open up the phones here. And we're going to take phone calls for Catherine Austin Fitz. So I want to let people know that you can call. Local number here is 510-848-4425. Getting a lot of questions about a lot of different things, Catherine, that you have raised over the last several weeks. Got some calls just before I went on the air from people saying that maybe it would be great to open up the phone lines for them to ask you questions. I said no to them. But I figured, I'm thinking about this, and I really am curious to know what questions people have as these G20 leaders go at it, and as people watch their bank accounts disappear. And I would like people to call 510-848-4425 and check in, but please focus your question. We don't do this very often, but I figured I'd spring this on you, Catherine, and let's see what our listeners have to say. So, again, the number is 510-848-4425. And why don't you just talk a little bit more about some of the other issues that are on your mind as you sort of watch the bailout continue and those who don't seem to know what they're doing sort of flustered and troubled and watching it day by day.
Well, the important thing, many people had tremendous hopes in this new administration. And I'm just working on my quarterly report. I do a wrap up every quarter. And I just, one of the sections is called Obama, a Change That Bankers Can Count On. My prediction is that this administration will do more to bring down constitutional government and deliver America into a one-world government than any politician has, or certainly any American president has, so far. Basically, what we've seen is Obama used his extraordinary political capital to get the first, to help get the first bailout through. And, you know, we're now up to $12 trillion. And this, you know, the process is literally out of control. I mean, there is no constitution is the net result of what's happening financially. And what's interesting, we talked about the musical chairs. The commodities market, although up a little bit this year, has basically been smashed. At the same time, the U.S. banks are getting just a flood of money. And you almost wonder who's now going on a global shopping spree to take this $12 trillion plus and basically buy the world's resources at, you know, 10 cents on the dollar. And that's exactly what we saw in 1989. When I was Assistant Secretary of Housing, we saw the same kind of process. Now, for the listeners, for all of us watching this, I mean, the critical issue is, you know, the plan in the game of musical chairs is for us to lose our chair. So the question for everyone is, how can we withdraw from the system? I mean, let's stop financing and supporting them. And then how can we build local resiliency? We've got to organize if we want to make sure that they're not going to harvest our place. And that's going to take organization. Of course, you know, in America, we're used to going home and watching TV and not getting out and organizing in ways that are respectful of our time. That's the key. And so that's the question because, you know, we are literally being thrown overboard. And unfortunately, a lot of us are seeing more government money and getting closer to the guys doing this as a solution. And of course, that's, you know, that's the siren song to disaster. So, I think what's really on my mind, I spend most of my time simply helping people take action to protect themselves and to really start to shift this. Because one of the dangers, Dennis, is the, you know, my prediction is we're going to see real outbreaks of warring and competition in the leadership globally that could result in very, you know, in windows really opening to create a third way here. So, so it is really important that we understand that we not look to, you know, the political hierarchy for any solution. We're on our own, and I think we have got to network globally to build the real solutions.
All right. We've got Bob on Flashpoints on Pacifica Radio. Do you have a focus question for Catherine?
Yes, sir. Thanks, Dennis. Hi, Catherine. I'm sure you're familiar with this, and I was wondering, and you may have heard of Pat Kiley, are you familiar with arbitrage trading, and is it at all feasible? And I can take my answer off the air. Thanks.
Catherine?
I don't know Pat Kiley. I do know arbitrage trading is basically arbitrage is when you buy, you know, in the old days you used to be able to buy a stock at one price at the same time it was trading at a different price in London, and you would arbitrage the difference. And so in theory, I'm sure you're probably referring to some specific. You know, arbitrage trading is always there. It's always available to be done. The one thing I would say is financial speculation is probably one of the least ways or the worst ways to try and build resiliency in this kind of economy. I mean, I would much rather learn how to do my own electricity and plumbing and install solar energy than become even more dependent in terms of my time and focus in playing with a financial system that's no more than a casino. So it's a little bit like learning how to count cards in Las Vegas. Ultimately, it's not as useful as growing your own food.
Shari, you're on Pacifica Radio with Catherine Austin Fitz.
Hi, thank you, Catherine. I've been listening and to you and reading your work for years, and I really appreciate the education that you've done. My question is where to put the money we have accumulated. I understand that they have started taking over the governing board of the credit unions. That really concerns me because we've been told that credit unions are a safer place for our money. And I also recently ran across some guy who talks about putting your money in treasury bills, but I don't really trust the government, and I don't think dollars are effective. And then there's not enough gold in the world for everybody to hedge against the loss of the dollar. So I'm just feeling confused.
Catherine?
Okay, well, there's an article up on my blog, which I think will help you, called Rethinking Diversification. You can do a search for it at solari.com/blog, and it'll give you a good overview. I also have an audio seminar, which, Dennis, you've made available, called Positioning Your Assets for Growth in Uncertain Time, which will help you. But essentially, the first thing to do is, we've been in a bubble economy, and as I said, there's lots of paper. And that paper, you know, jumps up and down in price all day long. But if you look beneath it, there's nothing really behind it. The U.S. Treasury, as a credit matter, a U.S. Treasury bond is basically a piece of paper backed up by the military and the political will of the United States. There's no economic value behind it. If the dollar were to price at economic value without the military, we'd probably be, you know, a 10 cents on the dollar or something like that, because America is essentially bankrupt. We printed far more paper than we can ever pay off. So the whole notion of where you put your money is you want to get out of things that depend on force or politics and get into things which are real. So real things. One way to look at what's real, and I think the most important, is how can you identify whether it's food, whether it's water, whether it's shelter, where you get your sustenance and where other people close to you and in your family get their sustenance, and where can you shift your investment in a way that provides you with that sustenance. So I always tell the story about a friend of mine who was complaining about her water bill and also was complaining that the yields were falling on her local CD. And I said, this is really simple. Why don't you just take your money out of the bank and build a well? So we've been intermediated, but, you know, we put our money in and we invest in large banks and large corporations. We get a financial return, and then we go off and use that money to buy from other large corporations what we need. Well, what we need to do is we just need to disintermediate the large guys out entirely. So that's sort of step number one, is where can you build self-sufficiency for you and your family? Where can you build local resilience in a way that is a good investment of your time and money? Because remember, you know, you can take your dividends in cash. You can also take them in food and water. So think creatively about integrating your world. So that's one thing. Another thing we can do is we can pay off our debt. The biggest issue I have for 2009 for many folks is our time. I would really suggest to everybody listening to this to sit down and do a budget of your time in 2009. And any place within your investment of time every week and every month, anything you do to give time to something that's not giving you energy or is draining energy, get it out of your life. I often talk a lot about how many hours we watch television in America and how draining it is to our sort of psyche. So figure out how to preserve your time, because what's going to happen during 2009 is more and more events are going to occur that are going to unexpectedly eat up our time. So we're fighting a time expense inflation, which is sometimes subtle and can be extraordinary. And so protect your time and organize with others. This is a time in which you don't want to be alone. So take some time and invest some time in getting to know or organizing with your network and neighbors. I have a Solari Circle, which is a small investment club I do by phone. I also, where I live, have a sustainability group. We have a dinner once a month and talk about how we can help ourselves become more sustainable. And it's amazing how much, believe it or not, Dennis, I'm about to get my ham radio license.
Really? Well, I've always known you're a pretty big ham. No. Anyway, you're listening to Flashpoints on Pacifica Radio, and we're going to go to Andy, who has a question for you, Catherine.
Hi, Catherine. My question revolves around mortgages and staying away from the tapeworm 20. I recently bought a house, and I gave my mortgage broker a list of the tapeworm 20.
Okay, I just want to say one thing. Before you go on calling, I'm very sorry. I'm not sure where you're going, but what I don't want to do is the personal advice. I'm very sorry, but this is my story. So if it's a general question about the structural situation or that pertains to everybody, let's do it that way if we can.
Yeah, it kind of does. And this is in the past. There's nothing that I can change right now. I just wanted to say that as soon as I signed my loan documents, my loan had been sold off to Countrywide. It was, like, out of my hands before I even signed my loan docs.
Right. So same thing. I've experienced the same things. So if you, and this gets back to the prior caller's very excellent question about credit unions, sometimes you can identify a local bank or credit union which will not sell off your mortgage, and you can agree with them that they won't. Sometimes there are local private lenders. You know, the person before just said, what can I do with my money? Well, one of the things we can do with our money is basically replace the big banks and the securitization agencies by doing loans locally with people that we know and trust. So, you can find a local institution who will not securitize, or you can find a private local lender. The previous home that I had, I financed with a private lender, and so I never had to go into the system. But there's no doubt that the majority of mortgages go into the system, and then you're subject to all these kinds of institutional relationships. It takes a lot more time to not go that route, to take the time to find local lenders, but they are there. The other thing is yes, the credit unions and the small banks are subject to more sort of political intervention. What we're watching in the system is the small credit unions and small banks that have stayed pretty clean and are relatively solvent are being used to subsidize the big guys through the back door. So they're going to be subject to potential political intervention. At the same time, they're generally much more solvent, and they're generally much more better managed, and they truly care about the consumer, which, anybody with a big derivatives portfolio cares about his derivatives portfolio, not about the customer. So I would continue to feel confident in the local credit unions and small banks, but you want to stay in touch. You want to be in communication, and you want to make sure you've read their financial statements and know they're financially sound. And if you're not comfortable doing that, getting your tax preparer, accountant, or somebody in your local community who is a professional in that way to do so for you. This is a time when we have to spend much more time on diligence, and that's why it's so important you protect your time.
All right. Well, we're out of time. Can't protect it anymore here. Catherine Austin Fitz, community business every Wednesday, except sometimes Tuesday or Thursday. Thanks for being with us, Catherine.
Thanks, Dennis.
And you're listening to Flashpoints on Pacifica Radio. More sounds from those protests coming out of the G8. A lot of focused protesters, a lot of very angry. Let's listen a little bit more.
All war criminals should be immediately arrested. And we will do it. Do you want to know the time?
Yes,
12 noon, April Fool's Day.
Well, we could start by shooting all the bankers, hanging all the politicians.
Acceptable policy. And I'd say thank you to the United Kingdom government for bailing out the bankers, for socialism for the rich, for passing on the cost of capitalism to the poor. And we'd like to say 2, 4, 6, 8. We like marching 2, 4, 6, 8. Capital must accumulate. 2, 4, 6, 8. Capital must accumulate. 2, 4, 6, 8. Capital must accumulate.
That's right.
That's right.
Come on. We need to privatise the army, start more wars, and give me some of this profit.
Seniors, painting it. It's your idea. You are.
Yeah, that's right. Yeah. I copyright that idea.
Voices from today's G20 protests coming out of the streets of London. In Berkeley, I'm Dennis Bernstein. You're listening to Flashpoints on Pacifica Radio.